Welcome to They Mostly Podcast at Night, episode 218, Crooked House.
One undesirable podcast. Listeners, beware.
Wah-ha-ha. Wah-ha-ha.
That's the tagline to this movie. Don't be scared, kids. We are not undesirable.
Don't really be scared. We're not really undesirable.
I mean, somewhat we are. Oh. Mostly.
Mostly.
Hello, everyone.
Hello, everybody. I am your host, Chaos. We haven't done that in a while.
No, I'm kind of horrified. Horrified.
Carnage is giving me this look like, what is wrong with you?
We just took a time machine back to 2018.
I think we did.
And it's kind of freaking me out.
Okay, well, let's jot back to the present. And
it is 2045, and we are old.
No, oh no, kidding. We overshot.
I'm gonna pee my pants.
Don't do that.
No, I won't. I'll hold it for the next hour. It's cool. Anyway, how you doing this week?
I am fantastic. How are you doing?
I'm good. I wish it was Friday. It's not, though.
I know. We're recording on a Thursday this week.
Because it's hot, and my home has no air conditioning.
Yeah.
So I'm leeching off of Chaos's air conditioning.
Yeah.
Because I am one giant leech.
And I have a shaker full of salt. Oh,
that's mean.
Better run.
Mean. Just mean. Mean-spirited, just like you normally are. God.
Oh, like you're not? Whatever.
Hey. That's not true at all.
Whatever.
There is always one nice best friend, and that is me.
No. We're the best friend duo of mean best friend and other mean best friend.
Other mean best friend? That's true. That's very true. I mean, we're nice to some other people.
Very few people.
Mostly strangers.
Mostly strangers.
Some people we know. I'm nice to strangers. Oh. I'm nice to customers.
Oh, well, you have to be.
I have, like, a sheen of niceness. You just have no mask whatsoever. You're just like, I don't have to deal with people. Fuck them all.
Actually, I am nice to the insurance companies I call. Because I'm like, they're doing a crappy job. I'm doing a crappy job. We can commiserate about it while we get this stuff done that we have to get done.
See, I'm not that way because I am mean to my underwriters. And I think, fuck you, people. We're all doing the same crappy job. You do yours better than me. So I'm going to treat you mean. No, I'm not that mean. Just kidding. I'm kidding, of course. So are you having a good week other than it being Thursday?
Yeah, I wish it was Friday, but since it's not, Thursday's, you know, second best.
Is Wednesday third best? I mean, is this how it rolls?
Yeah, that's how it works. Oh. Monday's like last. Last best.
Last best day?
Yeah. Last best day.
Okay, I can totally agree with that. There's no lies found there. Yeah. Monday is the last best day of the week.
Yeah.
I hate Mondays. Like Garfield, I hate Mondays.
Oh, you and Garfield.
I am.
Hating Mondays.
Like lasagna.
You don't like lasagna?
I like spinach lasagna. I don't like anything with meat in it.
Oh, well, you still like lasagna then. Because you like a kind of lasagna.
Yeah, just not the kind Garfield likes because he likes that meat.
No.
It's sad that I know that.
Talk more about how you don't like meat and Garfield does.
Shut up. I hate you so much right now. Okay, kids, we're at the last week of Pride Fest for us. We're just gonna hop right into this because Chaos is being a dick. So we are the last week of Pride Fest. We are wrapping it up here with a nice tidy bow. Before we get into this, do you want to tell them who we are and what we do?
I would love to. Nothing would make me happier.
You're such an asshole. So.
We are the Mostly Podcast at Night.
Never. Never anymore. No, I'm just kidding. Mostly.
We are two best friends of 20 years, maybe. Who bicker and banter are we through a different horror movie each week? We take turns picking the flicks because that's how we decided to do it when we set up the podcast. And most of the time we pick a movie because we genuinely want to share it with you, our dear listeners, but sometimes we pick it just to piss the other person off, because that is how our friendship works. It's hashtag friendship goals right there. Our friendship lives in the hashtag Mariana's Trench of Hate, where we have our own octagon, where we can go MMA style duke it out when we don't see eye to eye on movies. And spoilers ahead and expletives ahead.
You know, I've just decided, actually, we haven't done, we should do, like, a Poe member for, like, Poe. Like, Poe member.
Oh, month. Like a month for Poe's?
Yeah, I mean, we got Sawtober, so October's already taken, but there's, like, September, November, and December, Poe member.
Potember?
Povember would be cool.
That would be cool.
We should talk amongst ourselves later.
Yeah, we should totally do that.
This week, though, I hate you. This week, as Carnage got to round out Pride with Crooked House. It was done in 2008, despite what Amazon Prime says, because it said 2017. That was the weird thing. I was like, that's weird. It was not rated because it was actually a TV. So it was a TV series that they smushed together to make one movie. So not rated, and it was 90 minutes long, and it got a 6.8 on the IMDb scale. What about the tomato meter, if you could find it?
Oh, I forgot to pull that up.
God damn it. I even said something earlier. I said, you're not ready.
I live on the edge.
What?
It's part of the show.
Part of the show. I was dragging chaos earlier. I was like, the blatant disrespect that you show for my picks. And what are you like? You're like, no, I just, what did you say earlier? Just my memory?
Oh, my memory's just really bad.
I was like ragging on you. I'm like, you just show me no respect.
What is this? Is this the right one? It keeps wanting to give me the Agatha Christie
one. It's not the Agatha Christie.
Well, duh.
A. Duh.
I cannot find it on Rotten Tomatoes.
At all?
Only the Glenn Close Agatha Christie movie comes up.
I saw it on Rotten Tomatoes. Hold on. Yeah, maybe not.
No, I can't find it.
Well, fuck that.
It's not on Rotten Tomatoes, guys. There is no tomato meter.
I think that's a first for us, isn't
first it? First for us to not even be able to find the movie. Like, I've found the movie before, and they had, like, a dash because there was no tomato meter. But this is the first time that I've ever been on the website, and they just didn't have a movie.
Does that mean I win? Does that mean I win the podcast?
Why would you win the podcast?
Because there's no tomato meter. I don't know. That seems like it should be a prize. There should be a prize for not having a tomato meter.
What are you talking about?
I don't know. I'm trying to turn this into a win for me. Let me go with it.
Okay, fine. You win.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. It was taken from you.
What was taken from me?
The tomato meter.
You know, I don't have anything to do with the tomato meter, right? Like,
yeah, you do. You make it yourself. No, I'm just kidding.
I just read what's there.
I just read what's on the paper. I have no control over this at all. That's okay.
Yeah, that's fine.
That's okay. Well, the reason I picked this as my final one.
Yes.
The qualifier for it, for Pride, is that it was written by Mark Gatiss, mm-hmm. who is gay. Mm-hmm. And it actually stars him, his husband's one of the actors too, and then there's another gay actor in it as well. Oh. So it qualifies that way. And I picked it because we're going to fight about this, but Mama Carnage and I watched it a couple months ago. And we enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. You'll see a different point of view. And I thought it'd be good for us. I was wrong. I'm sorry.
Well, I don't know. Is there anything you want to say about Pride Month before we go forward with the movie? I felt like we had a really good Pride Month this year.
It was quality.
Yeah.
Like, even though I was an asshole procrastinator, like always am, mm-hmm. I feel like it was much more quality. That was it last year we did Gay Bed and Breakfast? And
no, that was the first year.
That was horrible. Oh, last year we did that Gabby Hoffman movie. We did a little more quality last year.
Yeah, we were working on it. It seems like every year we gotten a little better. Maybe, but this is definitely our best year.
This is our best year for sure. And maybe next year I'll plan before June.
Yeah.
Because I suck. And I apologize up front for next year.
I did actually plan before June.
Why couldn't you remind a bitch?
Just saying. I did remind you.
You reminded me the week before Pride.
Uh-uh. I reminded you before that. And besides, you know when Pride is, so don't even pretend.
It is. See, I've got other things in my mind.
You are going to turn...
Shut your fucking mouth.
That's
an age, right?
At the end of the month.
Yes. Actually, right after this episode airs. So.
Awesome. Yep. So everybody say a big happy birthday to Carnage.
Thank you. No, I think it was really quality this year, though.
Yeah.
And I think we're going to get better even next year, too. Yeah.
I think so, because we'll continue to improve. As we've gone on, the podcast has continued to improve. So, yeah, makes sense that we would do even better next year. Woo!
It's not even just us improving. It's that we're digging deeper for different things.
Yeah.
Like, we dug deep this year.
Well...
We didn't scratch the surface like we did the first year and be like, oh my God, it's Pride. We should do Pride and let's find anything with gay in it.
Yeah.
So we dug a little more context.
I thought more about my choices this year.
I begged for one of my choices this year.
I'm not going to lie.
I begged for this one, so I fought. I was thinking, I wanted to tell a little story.
Okay.
Just in Pride in general.
Okay.
Because we talked about like how our became horror fans.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking the other day, like, this is, like, a month ago. Like, not before Pride, obviously. Because we're actually recording this, like, what, like, a month? No, we're in June. But it's, like, we're way ahead. And I was thinking, I was like, you know what? It's been such a journey as well as, like, this our horror journey. It's a separate journey, but it's a journey as well. And I remember I was very distinctly sitting in my studio apartment in Massachusetts. When you and I were talking, when you first started talking about not being straight.
Mm-hmm.
And I think even for both of us, it's been a journey. Because back then, they didn't even have some of the, or if they did, I wasn't even aware of them. Because back then, and I thought I was all alone. Like, there wasn't as much, Pride wasn't as, and maybe it's because we didn't have as much social media, but it wasn't as... What's the word I'm looking for?
Prevalent?
No, it's not I mean...
Like, we didn't have social media. We didn't have social media. We didn't have... It hadn't spread into small towns yet. It wasn't in the mainstream as much.
Yes, thank you. So, like... I don't know. I don't know how you felt, but I felt, like, weird and alone and... It's nice now. Like, I know youth still struggle with it.
Because
we were in our mid-20s. Like, I was 26 when we first talked about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I know youth still struggle with it. But I think it's... I gotta imagine it's a... With it being more mainstream, with it having more Pride festivals, it's gotta be a little bit easier, I would hope, for some youth. There's definitely still struggles. There's definitely still homophobia, transphobia... just everything, but I don't know. I'm just kind of curious about the journey for adults that were our age, like mid-20s, compared to when we were. Because we're in our 40s. We can admit that.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
Well, because now it's like kids have access to more information, more terminology, more they can... But like people talk about why you need labels, and I always said that labels were good because you found a way to self-identify. You felt like you belonged somewhere.
Right.
Like there was a classification for you. It wasn't just you by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and nobody else was like you. So that's why I always liked labels when I was younger. I'm getting older, and as I get older, I'm less concerned about them.
Mm-hmm.
But I know when I was younger, they were very important to me just because I felt like I didn't know anybody else who was like me.
Right. Exactly.
And now I've only met a couple of people who are like me, but in person, online, I've met lots of people mm-hmm. like me. Now.
Well, there's the broad spectrum of the rainbow, too.
Yeah.
That we've talked about. Like, and that's what I mean, too. Like, back then, I was like, 17 years ago? Yeah, it was like 17 years ago.
Yeah, it was like 17 years ago.
I thought I identified as bisexual.
Right.
Because I never knew there was such a thing as pansexual.
Right.
And then there's, like, the learning as we go, too. Like, you know, different, like, things like, I don't know, there's just so much out there. Like, I just feel like knowledge is growing. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense what I'm saying?
Yeah, for sure. Well, when, like, I would say when I was 26, I knew there was gay, straight, and bi. Mm-hmm. And I was just learning about this thing called asexuality. That there was, like, one website on the internet about.
Right.
The AVEN, the Asexuality Visibility Network. But, yeah. Yeah, it was different. It was very different 17 years ago.
Mm-hmm. I just thought, we've not really talked about it before in the podcast, because, you know, we're a horror film podcast.
Right.
But as I thought it was important to explain, because this is our third year doing a Pride Horror Month. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was important to explain why it was so important to us. It's not just because we're part of the Alphabet Mafia, but because, and you'll never take that phrase away from me because I love that too much. I know you hate it. But I just why it was so important. You know what I mean? And just if there are any LGBTQ plus, did I miss a letter?
Oh my God, it's so long. Wait, hold on. The full thing?
TIA.
LGBTQ. No, there's more.
TIA plus. Okay. Yeah, because P's not anywhere in there.
Yeah, it is.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
I have lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, questioning, intersex, pansexual, two-spirit, androgynous, and asexual.
Oh, that's different from what I found. Apparently, there is more than one abbreviation for our mafia, because that makes the third different one that I have heard lately.
That's why I like Alphabet Mafia or Rainbow or Pride. I don't know. I just like it all.
LGBT. LGBT plus. I don't know.
Yeah, that works. I don't feel marginalized because P's not a part of it. I know I'm a plus.
P's in there. It's just part of the plus.
No, I know. I'm part of it. That's what I'm saying. I don't care that it's... I mean, it's a plus.
Oh,
cool. Yeah. We're a positive thing. Yeah, I don't know. I'm just saying I don't need the whole long thing. I don't feel marginalized because my P's not in there. You know what I mean? Like, in the front part of it. Is that, you know what I'm saying? So,
there's even been some people who want to change it so that gay comes first, and I'm like, why should the guys get to come first?
It's always been LGBT.
I know. Let the women have this, okay? They've earned it.
One thing. No, just kidding. I agree. But that's all I wanted to say. I just want to say, you know.
Okay.
And if you are out there and you're listening, drop us a note. We love to hear that there are more Alphabet Mafia listeners to our podcast. Because even though we usually only talk about it during Pride, and we don't even talk about it that much, we love hearing from you guys. So, because representation is always cool.
Yeah.
So
it matters.
All right, you ready to get to this episode?
So ready.
Okay. Should we do cast, I guess?
Yeah.
I sent it to you.
You did. The curator is Mark Gatiss.
Gatiss. He is the writer, too, and he was known from League of Gentlemen, Sherlock Holmes, and The Favorite, and I had the hugest fucking crush on him. I'm just gonna
he looked
right
very
now.
Familiar.
I love him. He's so funny.
Ben was Lee Ingleby.
He's known for Harry Potter, Prisoner of Azkaban, Master and Commander, and Bob the Builder. Huh. He was Stan Shunpike.
Oh, okay.
I didn't even recognize him, so I was like, oh, yeah.
St- stand Sean Pike. Bloxham was Philip Jackson.
He was known for Brassed Off, My Week with Marilyn, and Scoom. Hmm.
Duncalf was Andy Nyman.
He was in Death at a Funeral, which I love that movie, Ghost Stories, and Judy, and Remind Me About Brits Later, because he makes me think of Brits. So.
Brits Later?
Just Brits in general, yes. Brits movie stars.
In general. Okay. Felix was Ian Hallard.
This is Mark's husband. He was in Mary, Queen of Scots, Doctor Who, and An Adventure in Space and Time. And he does a lot on stage, too.
Oh, cool. Ruth was Jennifer Higgum.
She's in Ella Enchanted, Persuasion, and Cassandra Dream. And because this was an anthology, we really had to cut down the cast, guys. There was
yeah.
a lot, even for a small anthology like this.
Warning, so. This is an anthology.
No, my question on British actors is this.
Okay.
Do you ever find, like, so different than American actors? Like, it's a horrible word for it, but, like, no, I'm not going to use the word that I'm thinking of. But, like, you're like, oh, well, you could do six steps of, like, Kevin Bacon so much easier with British actors. Like, if you use a, like, say you use Hugh Grant or something, than you can with American actors. Do you ever feel that way? But, like, oh, well, he was in that with that movie. And
yes. It's like they're in everything together, and they've all been in the same stuff. And if you know one actor and he's in a movie with this actor, then they've done a billion things together.
Yes.
And then there's, like, the guys who are in everything, like, what's his name? He played Watson.
Martin Freeman?
Yes. Martin Freeman is in freaking everything.
Well, that used to be our name for him. We're like, oh, the British dude, that's in everything.
Yes.
No, but that's what I'm talking about, like, Andy Nyman. Okay, so Andy Nyman is in this with Mark Gatiss, who played Mycroft in Sherlock. He was in Death at a Funeral with Rupert Graves, who was in Sherlock as Lestrade. And then he was in Ghost Stories with Martin Freeman, who played Watson in... I mean, like,
yes.
The connection is just so funny to me. It's like...
Yes.
I don't know. Almost incestuous, but not really, because that's the word I was going to use, and it doesn't sound right, but you know what I mean, so... On that note, do you want a little summary?
I would love one of Carnage's famous five-second summaries.
Man finds werewolf-looking evil-ass door knocker, and things go awry.
That did look like a werewolf, didn't it?
Didn't it? I know it wasn't, but from certain angles
it did. Like, from certain angles, it totally looked like a werewolf. Yeah, I'm here for it.
So we open up on Ben. And again, this is an anthology, so I'm going to talk a little bit about that. Oh, I'm showing stomach. Sorry.
No, you're
My
not.
My shirt's showing up.
You're fine.
My shirt's showing up. Okay. It's a naked podcast. No. We open up on Ben, who brought this door knocker that he found in his garden. He's got, like, one of those... What the fuck do they call those houses? They're not brownstones over there. It's a flat. I mean, it's a two-story flat. Two- or three-story flat.
It's not a flat. Flats are apartments.
Okay, what are they called?
They're, like, duplexes or something.
Okay, we'll call it that.
But they're not.
It's like one house that stands alone.
Yeah.
And it's got two
floors.
So
it's a house.
I know, but there's, like, a word for it,
though. Split level?
That's not a split level, because a split level has split levels. That's...
It's got two... I don't know what you're talking about. It's a two-story house. I don't know what you want.
There's a kind of name for the style, and I can't remember the name, because it's bothering me, but it doesn't matter. He found this ugly-ass door knocker. It's seriously fucking ugly, people.
Oh, it's ugly.
And he takes it to the curator because he wants to find out more information about
it. He wants to know if it's worth anything.
And he's a history professor, history teacher.
So he wants to know, like, he's not, like, going there necessarily to get a history lesson about the door knocker, but the curator kind of offers.
And he takes it with
And
no
he's
problem.
Like, oh, sure, yeah, I'd love to learn more about this thing.
And the curator just knows all this information.
About this stupid door knocker. It is a door knocker.
It is an awesome door knocker. And if it did do what I would do, actually, I would take that door knocker, no problem. He tells the story about the Whittlesons that own, it's Geet Manor. It belonged to Geet Manor. And he tells the story about the original owners, the Whittlesons, who he failed at his one goal in life, and that was to have a child or a son to live on forever, you know, to grow the family legacy. And the house would still be standing there if he ever had a son. But he left, you know, his whole family down.
Right.
Couldn't have a son. even practiced in devil necromancy and had a...
He knew a necromancer.
Dr. Unthink.
Yeah.
And they tried everything to get a son and couldn't happen. And then the house was just cursed after that. And we head into our first story of the cursing, which wasn't the first curse. Well, not the first one, but the first one the curator tells, which is Bloxham. And do you have the date on Bloxham? Was it 16-something?
Late 18th century.
Wow, I was way off. Okay. He's an investor. He's done very well in investments, even though he's definitely screwed some people over.
There's
definitely some bitter people.
Oh, my gosh. This lady, her husband, I don't remember the correct terminology, but he takes his own life.
Suicide?
He suicides himself.
Yeah, he's in prison because of this investment that went bad.
Right. And he suicides because he's completely lost everything in the world. And then his wife loses her husband. So then she's like in the streets with her little children and
her
newborn baby because they take her house. And she's like, they're all like homeless on the streets. And he's just like, I'm just going to look the other way and walk the long way to the club to get around that one. Like, he is such a bastard.
Oh, he's so horrible. And meanwhile,
he's our Chad.
He's one of many. Yes.
I think he's the biggest Chad.
Is he the biggest Chad?
In my opinion.
I think so. No, I'm agreeing. I'm just thinking back. I'm like, is there another Chad? Maybe there's a couple of minor ones. But yeah, meanwhile, she's suffering. She's got nothing. She's penniless on the street begging. And he's getting his home fixed up. He bought Geep Manor.
Yeah.
And he's going to make it so modern. And he's got this master builder, Coyle, he's got the finest wood and everything. And wow, this...
Okay. Plot hole.
Okay.
Okay. The guy says he used the finest wood. It's excellent wood. There's nothing wrong with the wood. It's wonderful quality. But... it kind of came from a gallows.
You don't find that out till later.
You don't find that out till later.
It's good timber, though.
But I'm sorry. Why would you construct a gallows out of fine timber?
To make sure it's sturdy.
No, you don't need it to last very long. You just use
if
whatever
it's permanent
cheap
gallows.
You just use whatever cheap wood you can find.
If they are permanent gallows, though, like it's.
But they weren't.
I thought they were kind of semi-permanent.
I didn't get that impression.
Many people died on them. So I didn't think they put it up for the weekend, honestly.
Okay, but still, you don't use your finest wood.
Well, not finest, but a good
gallows.
Wood. Hey, maybe that craftsman took a lot of pride into his gallow making. You don't know. Just saying. Be like, I'm going to use the finest cherry wood I could find for these death marches.
Mm-mm.
Yep. I'm going to build the gallows for you out of cedar. They will smell nice as you're dying. Just saying. Just saying. Well, before we find that out, though, Bloxham is having problems because he hears, like, this thumping and scratching and growling. And the builder thinks he has a mouse or rat problem.
Yeah.
So they get a cat. The cat is afraid of this thing. I don't think it's a mouse or a rat.
Thing they report, the cat is afraid of whatever, of the mouse or rat. So... he's like, well, this is ridiculous. So he decides to move into the house because that's going to help rush the builders to finish.
Oh, yeah.
Because they don't want to deal with him and he doesn't want to deal with them. And therefore, if he moves in, then they can just be like, let's get out of here and get this done as quick as possible. So he moves in. So, but there's something growling and bumping and thumping behind the wainscoting.
Yeah, it's only in the study because that's where the wainscoting was. And one time when he's looking at it, because he almost burns his house down because he drops the candle.
Yeah.
There's like black coming through the wainscoting.
Yeah, through the paint and everything.
Which the master builder said it was part of the wood grain.
He said that was part of it. Wouldn't it be funny if it like didn't leach through the paint? So like that was going on, but nobody knew and it didn't really scare anybody. And
that wouldn't be a story then.
It would be kind of funny, though. Yeah, yes, for 30 years, apparently, this house has been cursed. We didn't notice.
No idea. There's some bumps in the night. It's no big deal. No big deal.
I thought it was the cat. I don't know.
The cat in the walls.
You know what they get up to.
So he actually confides in his friend.
We did have a cat in our walls at one point.
Oh my god.
You got it out, right?
She got out on her own.
It got better.
But we used to lose her in the walls like all the time. She used to love climbing around in the walls. Silly cat. She never got stuck, thankfully.
That's a good thing. No, I've had that happen. That's where they found one of mine, is in the walls of a deserted home. In the walls. Yeah.
One of How my did they adopted even find ones. Her?
They were going in to tear it apart.
Oh my gosh. Because
it was condemned. They found her in the walls. Don't know how she got in. Yeah. All my cats have great stories, the ones I've adopted.
Apparently. Yeah.
Anyway, so he blocks him, enlists his friend Duncalf. Meanwhile, their frenemy, I'm going to call him, goes to see the Master Builder. And this is when we find out about the gallows.
Yeah. Yeah.
Meanwhile, you've got Duncalf and Bloxham with a gun. Bloxham with a gun. And drunker than shit, both of them, facing this wall. Duncalf leaves. He's like, fuck this. He yeets right the hell out of there.
Mm-hmm.
And runs into their frenemy, Noakes. And they're trying to get back in. They can't get back in. And meanwhile, Bloxham has shot at the wall once. And the blackness has sucked him in.
Yeah, it's grown so much and so thick that it wraps around him and draws him into it. And he's gone forever. Bye-bye.
And the curator says they find him hung. Hanged?
Hanged, hung.
Hung-ed. Hung-ed.
Hanged or hung are the proper verbiage.
You know, like hung-ed?
Not a real word.
Not a real word. Make it now. But yeah, that was the knocking they heard was the boots. The boots of the people dying knocking against the wood.
Oh, yes.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun.
First story
over.
So that's the first episode of it. And then it merges into the next story, which is Felix and Ruth.
Ugh.
You don't like this one?
I didn't like any of them, so that's kind of a weird question.
Oh, you're just like, oh, that's what I thought.
This one, the first one annoyed me the least.
Okay.
But, yeah.
Well, I'll fly through the rest. To make it a little bit, I mean, and it pretty much does fly through. So
no, it does.
The second one is the second story. Kind of. And this one's my least favorite too, even though I love, the character who played Ruth, and you know, she was a little over dramatic, a little bit. And I do like Ian as an actor too, but it's the 20s, and it's the Roaring 20s. They're having a costume party, And Ruth and Felix just got engaged. He announces it. His grandmama is in residence with her lady servant.
Yeah, she's a lady. She is, so she has a maid?
No, there's another name for my Downton taught me this, but I don't remember what their name, it doesn't even matter. It's
like a lady valet.
Yeah. And, ladies maid, that's what they're called.
Okay.
She's like a ladies maid. Yeah. And they're all drunk. They're playing hide and seek. It's this whole thing. But Ruthie is given this little handkerchief by Miss Adams. It's kind of like her something old.
For the wedding, yeah.
And ever since she gets this, she sees this woman in a wedding dress. Like full on veil where you can't see the woman or anything.
Mm-hmm.
Milling about the party. We see her about like 3 or 4 times. Meanwhile, there's some jealousy going on because Felix was apparently engaged before to Catherine, who
is a jealous hoe.
She's a jealous hoe. She's our Brenda.
She's our Brenda, for sure.
She's mean.
Or is Brenda? Yeah, Brenda.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, Brenda.
She calls, like...
Female Chad.
She calls Ruthie a fish person. And she's just mean to her. Like, look what happened to me. You know, Felix is going to cheat on you, too. Although, whatever. Catherine just wants him back.
Yeah.
You can tell. Because Felix has money. Let's be quite honest here.
Yeah. Well, yeah, his grandma is a Contessa or something.
Yeah.
Countess?
Viscountess. Whatever. She's a thing. She's a very important
Pretty sure
thing.
She's a countess.
Countess. Okay. But she sees this bride hanging around, and for some reason it creeps her out completely. Not sure why.
Because it is a costume party, so it's like, it's not that odd to see. I mean, it's a little odd to see somebody in a bridal gown, but it is a costume party, so.
Right, it'd be like me getting upset at seeing a sailor or something. Like, oh my god, how dare a sailor show up at my party dressed as a sailor? Just saying.
No, I think you'd be more like, it'd be more like if you were creeped out to see a sailor at your party.
That's
like,
what it is. I would be totally creeped out by that, by the way. She actually hallucinates. Like, Felix is stone drunk. His one friend takes him upstairs to bed, but she actually hallucinates Felix and Catherine naked in bed together.
Well, I don't think she hallucinates that.
It doesn't really happen.
It's the bride making her see it, though.
The bride's making her see it, right. So she goes running, crying to her room, which apparently Grandmama can hear her. And they tell her the story of Lady Eleanor. Lady Eleanor was her sister, and she was the last bride at Geep Manor. And she walked in, I think after the ceremony, on her husband, and her husband with another woman. And she was so upset about it, she took a letter, what are those things called?
Letter opener.
Thank you, letter opener. Stabbed her eyes out and put a curse on Geep Manor that no other bride should be there.
I'm sorry, but generally, I've watched a lot of, like, Snapped, and when a woman finds that her lover has cheated or something, and is filled with a violent rage to do something, she's not usually interested in hurting herself as much as she maybe is the other person
or persons. Yeah, that's what I was hoping for, is that she killed both her husband and the woman he was with?
Yeah. I was just like, she stabbed her eyes out. Really? That's what she did?
And then she stabbed her eyes out.
Really? Come on.
But then it wouldn't work for the end part, because you see Ruthie going to see Felix, and she screams because she sees the bride over, like, hovering over him.
Mm-hmm.
And her screams bring Grandmama and Miss Adams, the lady's maid. And Ruthie actually has the scissors in her hand, like she's gonna do something to them, but then the power tries to grip
the bride, tries to make her, like, stab her own eyes out, and it's like, oh no, and then everybody's trying to stop her from doing it, and
that's when Grandmama says to her, "It was me. It was me. I was with your husband. It's me you want." And the bride, you know, takes her over and makes her kill herself, like, with her stomach. It's the scissors in her stomach. And dissipates after Grandmama dies.
What I really wanted to see, mm-hmm. if we're going with this whole she stabbed her eyes out premise, which is dumb, but whatever, if we're accepting that, then I really wanted to see Ruth stab her own eyeball out. Like, I just want to see those scissors just go into that eyeball.
Very Session 9 of you. I don't know, she reminds me of Session 9 with the guy with the eye. The thing in his eye.
Yeah.
Do her on the bottom.
There's that too.
Yeah.
She could do that.
You have a thing about eyes, I'm just saying.
I do.
It's kind of creepy to me.
I do, actually.
It's very creepy to me. So end story 2. That pretty much sums up that one. And then we go, story 3 is the modern time one. So we're back into the modern world of Ben.
Yes.
He finally leaves the curator. The curator's like, "These are a dime a dozen. Just take it with you. Put it to good use. Put it on your house." Okay. Seems like a wise decision. So he takes the door knocker home, puts it on his house. And then, what is it? 3:43 at night. Because there was arguing in my family about this. 3:43 in the morning. I'm sorry, rather. Not at night. Here's three knocks. And he goes down. He goes all the way outside. Dummy. Because who the fuck would do that except the guy? Only a guy would be this stupid.
Yeah. He just goes and throws his door open and looks for somebody.
And even walks outside. Like, did you never see a horror movie before, dude? Seriously? And the door shuts behind him and locks him out. Yep. So he gets his hide-a key, goes in. But when he opens the door, he's thrown back into, like, blocks of age. Like, the house looks like, actually looks older. Like, back to its, like, original...
Yeah, it's back to its original state in, like, whenever it was built.
All this timber.
They ate I don't know. No, it was before the 1800s because the late 1800s was when the guy was having it fixed back up.
Mm-hmm.
It had already gone to ruin by then.
I want to say it was the 1600s for Widdowson.
Okay.
If I remember correctly. Or Middle Ages. I don't know. I'm going to look up.
It wouldn't have, like, I don't think it was a Middle Ages house. I think it was too modern to be a Middle Age house.
Damn it. Damn it, Janet. Is it say on Wikipedia? Because it does not. No, it doesn't tell me at all.
No, it's a Tudor mansion.
Okay.
So it was built during Tudor times.
Which is funny. Because doesn't Ben bring up the Tudors as a history teacher? Yeah, he does.
It is medieval. Oh, you're right. It is medieval architecture. The Tudor period was from 1485 to 1603.
Okay.
And beyond. So it could be 1600s.
Yeah, because I thought the costumes looked kind of Middle Ages.
Yeah. Yeah, I did. Yeah, you're right. I forgot. Yeah.
Which is funny that we say that because, yeah, Ben brings up the Tudors later as he's talking about what he's teaching the kids.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of funny that it's kind of back. But we're in Ben's time now. So we find out he's a teacher. He sucks at his job. He sucks at being a boyfriend because his girl is pregnant. He doesn't want anything to do with it. He's our Chad. I'm sorry.
No, you know what? You're right.
I think Bloxham is a Chad.
Bloxham is a Chad. Well, okay, so I want there to be just one Chad. Like, whoever's the biggest Chad is the Chad.
I think. Fuck, that's hard.
I know, like.
Because Ben did say he would provide, whereas Bloxham won't even look at the people that he's fucked over.
Bloxham has complete. Bloxham is a Ponzi scheme con artist who swindled people out of their, like, whole entire fortunes. And pulled out right before the deal went bad so that he was okay and everybody else failed.
And Ben's a man who didn't pull out at all. Come on, you gotta give me that one.
No, that was great.
I can't pick between them. Which one do you think's the Chad?
I think the Ponzi scheme guy is a bigger Chad.
I'll go with that then.
Okay.
Okay, so he's a minor Chad character. He's Chad.
He's definitely a Chad.
He's Chad Light.
Mm-hmm.
He's 80s new Chad.
And Claudia is Brenda, the female Chad.
You mean Catherine?
Yes, Catherine.
I was like, who the fuck's Claudia?
I don't know who the fuck Claudia is. But Catherine's a Chad. Chadette.
Brenda.
Brenda.
So we meet Hannah. We meet the girlfriend. She's very pregnant. He just says he can't be a father. He can't be a father. Don't worry, you won't have to be. Anyway, but he's very freaked out about this house that it goes back. He actually sees somebody. He freaks out, he runs away, and when he opens the door again, it's back to his house. But this keeps happening. Like, one night he actually goes up the stairs, and he sees the Widdowsons. He remembers from the curator showing the picture of them.
Mm-hmm.
He had a painting of them, mm-hmm. just Mr. and Mrs. Widdowson, or Sir and Surratt, well, Widdowson, whatever the fuck it is.
Sir and Surratt.
And they're with their necromancer, Dr. Unthank, is summoning this baby, and you see, like, this old gnarled hand coming out of the crib.
With hair. It was a hairy hand.
Oh, it's gross.
Ew.
And he screams, and they look at him, and he runs away. Like the pussy he is.
Yeah.
Why did you go up the stairs then, Ben? That's all I'm saying.
So basically, he finally got on board with his girlfriend having a baby, and then they stole the baby from her. And they stole her to get the baby. And so Ben is now without a girlfriend or a baby.
Or a baby. Or a house, because actually, when the Widdowsons got their son, here's the funny thing. So he goes back to see the curator, finds the museum's been locked for ages. Curator doesn't exist.
Yeah.
He breaks in, sees the painting of the Widdowsons and their baby, because now their baby shows up in the painting.
Right.
And you see another portrait of Dr. Unthank, who is actually the curator.
Yeah.
And you see the curator throughout time. Like, he's there with Bloxham. He's there at Felix's party, you know, and they take in that baby. And when they took the baby, after he sees this portrait of the Widdowsons with their young boy child, who is his boy child. Mm-hmm. They've obviously killed Hannah to do it, because you see Unthink with a big knife over his hand going...
Over her stomach, yeah.
He drives back to his little house. It's not there anymore.
Not there anymore.
Geet Manor's there all of a sudden.
Geet Manor is there.
Because they got their son.
That's right. That's all they wanted was his son.
End movie.
End movie.
Now, you hated it.
Yes.
Tell us why.
It was boring. It was just boring. I didn't enjoy the stories, the little stories. The only thing I liked was the twist where the curator was actually this necromancer who did this in all of this just to get this baby boy so that they could have a son and Geet Manor would survive.
Hot necromancer. You've got hot necromancer. No, just kidding. I liked the first one. I will tell you, I didn't like... I wasn't a fan of the middle one. I don't know why, because I love the costumes for it. But I just thought some of the acting was overacting and the story was kind of like... I agree with you. Like, she should have killed the people in the bed and then stabbed her own eyes out. That would have been a better story. Mm-hmm. But I liked the first one. Especially, I don't know, it kind of had, like, Poe... It reminded me, like, Poe-esque, where, like, the blood's bleeding, or the black is bleeding through the walls, and you hear the knocking, and it just kind of drew me to that a little bit. So I did like that. But the middle one kind of, like, it didn't... It's kind of like, I don't know. It just didn't work for me, the middle one. Mm-mm. And I did like the other one because it's more modern times. Like, and then, yes, you get the... That's fucking freaky. He opens the key and it's a house back from, you know, when it was first done in the Middle Ages. Okay, you know. And then the end, like, his house is gone.
Yeah.
Geet Manor's there. And they've stolen his girlfriend. Like, and it's kind of clever because it's like... She lost her way, and she made it at 3:43 in the morning, just when she happened to be going into labor, too.
Yeah.
Like, the spirits designed that.
Yeah.
So I thought that was cool. And then, of course, trapped his ass in the kitchen where he couldn't get out.
Maybe they induced her. They could have. Magically induced her.
That necromancer was pretty good. I'm just going to say that right
now. Yeah. Like, why? Who's to say they couldn't make the baby come at 3:43 a.m. When they're doing their ritual?
I don't know. What was significant about 3:43? Do we even know that?
It was just the time at which it continued to happen.
Okay. I didn't know if there was a significance and I missed or something.
Not that I know of.
I did catch this time because this was my second time watching it. That when you first meet the curator, and he's kind of like, not fingering the door knocker, but like kind of touching it. Mm-hmm. He knocks it three times.
Oh.
Which later, when the door is knocking three times, I just thought it was kind of funny.
Yeah.
So, but yeah. So I do like it as a movie, which is why I wanted to watch it. I don't like the middle story.
Okay.
If we're breaking it apart into episodes, like it originally was, I don't like the middle part. I don't know why.
Okay,
I can't
rank them.
Rank
the stories.
In order?
Yeah.
First is one, last is second, and then middle one's third is how I like it. How I like it.
What the fuck? I'm the same.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because the first one really does, like, and part of the trivia is that Gatiss was inspired by Henry James's stories, like Turn of the Screw. And that's what the first one was like, is kind of that time period. The second one just didn't have a rhythm to it. It didn't have that same rhythm.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It just kind of felt like shoehorned in almost, even though I know it wasn't, you know?
I just didn't like it. It was, I don't know. Like, the whole movie bored me to tears.
Which usually it's the other way around with you and me.
I know. But the second one, it was just like nothing really happened. Like, I mean, I know there was a ghost and, yes, it was too long. And, It didn't feel like it belonged in part of the larger story.
Right.
And it felt like a totally different movie.
Yeah.
It didn't blend well at all. And you have to blend your edges. You have to blend your edges.
You do.
It's like being an artist. It's like being a physical media artist. You gotta blend your edges.
Which I know what they were going for, like each one was an episode, but like when this happens, that it's got to stand on its legs as one movie.
Right.
Just like the Quibbies. We were talking about this before, but I was... Excuse me. Fighting for this because Prime made it one movie.
Uh-huh.
Like they're doing with those Quibby, those, what was it, 5-minute TV shows? they've made them one movie now. Like, there's a season that's one movie of some of these, and it's like, yeah. It's got to work cohesively together.
Right.
Because that's what happens sometimes.
Like, okay, so as far as anthology movies go, I always judge all anthology movies against Trick or Treat. Because as far as I'm concerned, that is like the gold standard of what you strive for in an anthology movie. Like, there's an overall story that fits seamlessly with the littler stories, mm-hmm. which could be stand on their own. It's perfect that way. And then this movie just didn't have that Mm-mm. for me. And no. So that was a problem. And then, I don't know, I just thought, like, I mean, how long were the anthologies themselves?
30 minutes each.
They were, it was only 90 half minutes. An hour.
Yeah. Because you had Bloxham was one, Felix and Ruth were a second one, and then Ben.
Right, there were three.
Yeah. Even though IMDb does say four, there was only three episodes.
I wasn't sure, like, if maybe, like, one was longer, or I didn't know they were all the same.
I didn't time them, but I'm pretty sure they would have had to have been all a half hour each to fit as a miniseries.
Probably, that makes sense.
But the middle one felt longer, though.
It did feel longer.
It did, I agree.
But it makes sense that they'd all be half an hour to make a 90-minute movie. So, yeah.
All right. Well, I have no trivia.
Oh.
I have no fan fiction.
Oh.
Do you want to make fan fiction?
Yeah, let's make up something.
Okay, what do we want to make up? Not a fish shop.
Okay, so Ben is homeless. He has no girlfriend, no son, no friend, because the curator was that necromancer the whole time.
Well, he's got that one female friend that's got the kid.
Oh, yeah.
She must take him in, probably.
She'll probably take him in. He'll work a string of menial, low-paying temp jobs. Because he gets fired, obviously, from his teaching career. Because
he sucks at it.
Because he sucks at it.
He's not good at it.
He's not good at it anyway, and then he gets stressed out, and he's upset, and everything that's going on in his life, and they fire him. So he starts drinking heavily. He starts having more and more temper tantrums at work, and they fire him again. Ironically, the only job that he can get is as a caretaker for an old mansion, but there are funny knocking sounds coming from the walls.
It's a Keep Manor.
No, not Keep Manor.
Just a different manor, okay.
Yeah, this is a different manor, obviously. You wouldn't go to Geep Manor for a job.
They wouldn't hire him anyway. Necromancer would be like, yeah, nice try. Get the fuck
and
out of my
tries
property.
And he tries to say all the time to the landlord that there's knocking in the walls, but the landlord keeps sending him cats. He doesn't know where the cats disappear to, but they just keep disappearing. So his only friend is the cats who come through. And he and his cat of the week patrol the grounds, keeping an eye on things. And that's where he ends up.
Okay.
Until he gets eaten by ghosts.
Nice. Yeah. Good flick.
Thanks.
Should we rate and review and get the fuck out? Rate and pimp?
Yeah, sure.
I have no fan fiction. Well, I already said that. Duh.
Well, what's your fan fiction?
What's my fan fiction?
Yeah, you got to make one more interesting than mine.
Oh, God. I can't. I don't think I can make it more interesting. I'm just going to say that the necromancer / curator is now a gardener at Geet Manor. And he just keeps living through time. And sends... Oh, he could send Ben, like, those ransom letters. Like, you remember from Serial Mom where you cut him out of the magazine? Just to fuck with his mind. Be like, we have your child. Give us £1,000 and we'll, like, send you a picture.
Oh, that's so mean.
That's kind of mean.
That's great.
That's my fan fiction.
Okay, good.
Should we rate?
I like it. Yeah, let's rate. You go first.
All right. I know I'm going to be a lot higher than you because I did enjoy parts 1 and 3. And, yeah, part 2 just let me down. I love Catherine. She was a vicious bitch, and I loved her. And I did love the costume, but all in all, it kind of let me down in the middle. So I'm actually going to go about like a 6.234 because I will watch it again. Won't buy it. How about you?
Okay. Yeah, I am lower than that. I'm at like a 5. 5 for quality. But minus 5 for everything else. So just for 5.
Okay. We're going to have to try again. Because not this movie, obviously. Just a different Mark Gatiss because he did Dracula. Like, he's a fan of, like, horror, like, Hammer horror.
Oh, cool.
And stuff like that. So he's,
I love Hammer horror. We haven't even gotten into Hammer horror yet. We have not even dipped our toes into Hammer horror yet.
I want to say, like, every winter time, which is kind of a time, weird time for it, he writes a new horror for, or, adapts a new horror screenplay.
Cool.
For, BBC.
Interesting.
Yeah. Or British TV. I mean, it might not be BBC. Maybe it's just like Channel 4 or something. It could be whatever it is. But mm-hmm. So he's very into horror. So we'll have to try
That's
something
cool.
else. Yeah. Yeah. What's not to love? Someone that does comedy very well and horror very moderately well.
Sure.
Shut up. Should we pimp it out?
Yeah, let's
end
do it.
Things out on an I don't.
Let's end things on that note. We are part of the Morbidly Beautiful Podcast Network. Morbidlybeautiful.com is your place for all things horror, and they have a great podcast network, so you should definitely check it out because you might find a show that you like almost as much as us. We are on all the social medias. We are at Podcast at Night on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Slasher. We also have a Facebook group that is moderated by our social media maverick. Carnage is in charge of marketing. Chaos is in charge of editing and graphic design. And we would really appreciate a moment of your time in a review. Wherever you listen, leave us a review or just tell your friends about us, you know, whatever. Whichever, we just appreciate some support, and it usually helps get new listeners to the show. So thanks a lot in advance. And if you have some cash to flash, we have a merch store that will be linked in the show notes. So that's everything from me, Chaos. I just want to say thanks for listening, and good night, and stay bloodthirsty, friends.
Good night from Carnage, and as always, we're filmed in front of a live studio audience of very snuggly little kitties.
Meow. Oh, meow.
Harry Potter. That's another thing that fucked things up. No, how you can attach more Brits to things because so many of them were in Harry Potter.
Oh, yeah.
You can draw it right back to that. Lord of the Rings is another one. I mean...